Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined by Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries. Ray, I'm going to get you in just a little bit to tell us a little bit about Keep Believing Ministries. I also want to welcome our normal reporter type guy.
There's nothing normal about me.
Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Welcome.
Good morning and good afternoon.
All right, folks, we're going to do a kind of a quick segment. This just sounded like the coolest thing. I have a guy I go to Sunday school with, Chris Childs. He is the Rapid Response Director, I think is his title, Chris Childs, with 8 Days of Hope. And he was telling me, this is, I don't know, a month or two ago, a couple months ago maybe, about this outreach in Louisiana. I think it's Louisiana, called Love Our Schools. And when he was telling me about it, I thought, that is so cool. I want to get that on our program at some point. And now school is starting. And so it's a perfect time to talk about this and maybe encourage you and your communities to do something similar. So I want to welcome Cindy DeLina of Love Our Schools to Today's Issue. Cindy, welcome.
Welcome. Good morning. Thank you.
Okay. Well, and listen, I understand from Brent Creeley, our producer, that your husband's Italian?
He is half Italian, half Russian, yes.
I'm half Italian, half Greek. Listen, it's an honor. It's an honor to have you on just because your husband's half Italian. Listen, I just love what you guys are doing. Tell us a little bit about Love Our Schools, what you guys do, kind of how this got started, and then we're going to ask for your website.
Wonderful. I am the outreach coordinator for our church here in Lafayette, Louisiana, and for the past 2 summers, we have participated in the National Serve Day. So 2 years ago, we got volunteers from our church. We went out and we painted 2 schools. Last summer, we painted 4 schools. We just painted, cleaned, did whatever the principal asked us, you know, 8 to 4, landscapes, mowed the lawns, organized teachers' classrooms, painted them, just a fresh coat of paint so they could start off the school year kind of with a great attitude. Then this year, I was mentioning it to a foundation partner who had been investing in curriculum and teacher training for a zone called the Turnaround Zone, and it was 8 of our underperforming schools. And so as God would have it, I opened my big mouth and said, hey, what if we painted all those 8 schools for you? And it has turned into a giant $1 million project with just partners throughout the community. We have done projects with 8 Days of Hope. We asked them to come help us manage the project for the day of the event, which happens to be this Saturday. We had to postpone it due to Hurricane Barry in July. So this Saturday, we have over 3,000 volunteers painting, cleaning, and doing almost $1 million worth of work in these 8 turnaround schools. We're giving every child a brand new backpack filled with all the supplies they need for the school year. We're giving all the teachers a gift card to Walmart to, you know, finish out their classroom and get needed classroom supplies. We just had a sponsor commit to buying a uniform for each of the students. And it's just been, it's been snowballing, and God has just multiplied it in so many different ways. And it's turning into a fun way to inspire, to improve education in our city.
Tell us something about what has the response been from the teachers, from the staff, and from the students of these schools?
I generally walk around with a box of Kleenex because they all cry because they can't believe that the community loves them this much. And, you know, they don't, it's being expressed. It doesn't mean we didn't love them before.
Right.
It's just being expressed in a tangible way, kind of renewing their hope, letting them know classroom is a hard place to be to encourage these kids to succeed, sometimes in environments where they aren't encouraged. And so just letting them know that we're on their team, we're all in this together, and we're reaching out to do what we can, the small part that we can, to help them get inspired for the new school year.
Well, Cindy, I just think this is such an awesome thing that you are doing there in Louisiana. There's 100 reasons why it's so profound, is because you never know whether or not you are going to turn around a child's life by these simple acts of kindness and love. It is an encouragement, I'm sure, to teachers and to administrators who are probably strapped for cash to begin with, and you are able to show the love of Christ and help these folks. There's no telling how many lives you can turn around by doing this. And I want to encourage people who are listening. This is a network that reaches into, I think, 36 states, 183 radio stations in this network. Folks, get involved. This is the perfect example of lighting a candle and not just simply cursing the darkness. You don't maybe think your schools are doing enough. Well, get in there, roll up your sleeves, and help out, pitch in. Cindy, tell our listeners what your website is so they can go check out more about Love Our Schools.
It is loveourschoolsfoundation.com.
Okay.
And on there, we describe our event. We have sign up so someone could, you know, see how to replicate it in their area. We did sign ups for the 8 different schools. We have all of our sponsors listed on there. And it's just been a great way to involve everybody in the community in one big event.
Okay. So that's loveourschoolsfoundation.com?
Correct.
Okay. All right, Cindy, thank you so much for being on the program with us. You did a great job, and we hope you get a great turnout on Saturday.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Cindy DeLena has been our guest. I think I might have said loveourschoolsfoundation.org at the beginning of the program, but she said it was .com, so that is, I guess, the website. All right, Steve, we have one other story regarding...
Yeah, that's a great ministry. I love that. And we do have another. I found this story. This is Dateline in Kansas, Hillsboro, Kansas. Parkview Mennonite Church has decided that it wants to cover the cost of every child enrolled in Hillsboro Elementary School, grades kindergarten through fifth grade this year, for all their school supplies. So they're doing that. They're taking all kids and just buying all of them school supplies. Now, the article here is a little unclear. It says $410. I'm assuming that's per kid. That's a lot of money.
Yeah,
well,
it is.
I bet parents are probably going, well, you just hadn't done it in a while. That's what it costs. That's a lot. I don't. It's been a long time since my kids were that young. I have a daughter who's I'm just going to say in her 30s. My son just turned 30, so it's been a long time, and prices may have gone up. But that's. Listen, I just love this kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's why when I first heard about this, I wanted to have a representative on, and because this to me is the Christian way you approach. That there's a place for going to the school board meeting and saying, "Listen, I don't want this being taught. I don't want these people, you know, coming in, you know, from Planned Parenthood and teaching our kids." There's a place for that,
right?
But I tell you, that goes a lot further. If you're doing this, on the other hand.
Sure.
All right,
does.
What do you got for us?
Also, guys, the loveourfoundation.com does route you to loveourfoundation.org. So
okay.
Either one, .com or .org.
Okay, all right, good. Wanted to make sure we had that correct. All right, thank you for that, Brent Creeley, our producer. All right, so excellent.
Yeah, good job.
All right.
Hillsboro.
All right, now, Steve, bring us down.
Okay, I will. President Trump is...
here we go.
I'll say this with a smile on my face. President Trump is making a trip today to Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas, the scenes of the horrific shootings over the weekend. And he's finding a little bit of a mixed reception as he gets to these places. I wanted to just play you a little clip. This is some of the protesters that were out in force when he landed in Dayton, Ohio. And they're saying not one more. They don't want one more child or person to be slaughtered.
We can all agree with that.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right. Right.
Well, but they had the resist flags. They had that little baby Trump that was over in England. They had one of those
yes.
things. So it was the anger on the left is unhinged is the only way I can talk about it. I wanted to play you a couple clips, just we can hit these and run. I wanted to first play you, this is MSNBC's Nicole Wallace, who was talking about comparing different presidents and how they use their office. This is cut five.
The last Republican president fought for, sought, and it's not ideal, but had 44% of the Latino vote. It was so politically powerful inside the last Republican administration. President Obama used the power of the presidency to try to pass comprehensive immigration reform with the Latino community, Latino leaders at the table. You now have a president, as you said, talking about exterminating Latino.
Exterminating Latinos. You now have a president, she said, Nicole Wallace, who is intent on exterminating Latinos.
Well, I am sure, Ray, that the host of that program corrected her immediately on this assertion.
And, of course, she must have gotten fired or reprimanded or something for that. I mean, can you imagine saying that about a Democratic president? You just couldn't get away with that. Mr. Trump wants to exterminate Hispanics.
Yes. And now she did later on, she did tweet out an apology, an I'm sorry, not sorry apology. she said, I misspoke about Trump calling for an extermination of Latinos. My mistake was unintentional, and I'm sorry. Trump's constant assault on people of color and use of the word invasion to describe the flow of immigrants is intentional and constant. That was her apology.
Okay.
She's blaming Trump for what she said.
Yes, exactly.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do right here.
Yes.
On national radio. I'm going to accept Nicole Wallace's apology.
Yes.
I'm going to try to ratchet down the rhetoric here and say she did say the wrong thing. She was fired up. She apologized. I'm not being sarcastic.
No, can you hang on to that for just 1 second? Because I want to play you another one. Then you can ratchet it down afterwards.
All right, let's go.
Mika Brzezinski, part of the Joe and Mika, Joe in the Morning or whatever it is on MSNBC. She was talking about the shootings and President Trump's rhetoric and blaming President Trump's rhetoric for these shootings. This is cut six.
You have to ask the question, Joe. And I'll ask you, isn't it okay to deduce that at this point, this is what he wants? He is inciting hatred, inciting violence, inciting racism. If he doesn't unequivocally call it off and say, this is wrong, and we stand together against this, and we are doing this, this, and this to help fight hate crime. I mean, this is a president who seems to want these things to happen. How else can this be explained?
That's saying he wants these shootings to happen.
Oh, man.
You know, Steve, I am trying to go, when they go low, try to go high.
Yeah. That's hard.
Right? Hard, though.
That's hard.
That's just, listen, I don't know how he could have been more clear his speech.
Let me play. This was after his speech on Monday. So this is since he said this, cut seven.
In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. Hate has no place in America.
Pretty
that
clear.
That sounds clear to me. Clear. I don't know what Mika Brzezinski, wants the president to do. This is what I think she wants the president to do. Become a Democrat.
Or resign.
Yeah. Okay. Right. All right, Steve.
I know, go ahead.
Man, I need to go eat a pizza or something.
Take the high road now.
Yeah.
Now's the time.
Yeah. You see, you just
we
throwing
started,
obstacles.
We started this hour on such a high note.
High note, we? And Steve Jordahl just makes sure we go right back to the gun.
Well, it's the news of the day.
All right. What else we got?
We're
big boys and girls. We can take it.
We can do it. We can do this.
We've been taking it for a long time now. We better be able to. All right, the Brett Kavanaugh, you remember the contentious hearings that Brett Kavanaugh had, and in fact, I've just finished reading.
This is promising, Steve. Go ahead.
Yeah, isn't it? I just finished reading the book that was put out called Justice. I'll find it. But it's a new book, talk about the battle over confirmation of Justice Kavanaugh and the dirty tricks that the Democrats played to try to thwart that confirmation. Well, everybody else has moved on except for Jerry Nadler. Jerry Nadler is requesting documents from Brett Kavanaugh's time in the Bush White House from 2001 to 2006.
Is it justice on trial?
Justice on trial. There
okay.
you go. Thank you. And it's a good book, by the way. I'd recommend it if you.
You have been highlighting this book for a week or two now.
If your blood pressure can take it, it's a good book.
It can't.
Well then may I recommend maybe some
Calvin
Dr.
Hobbes
Seuss.
Or something?
Yes.
Or...
Oh, the places you'll go.
Yes.
Anyway, I wanted to play you a little bit of what Jason Chaffetz had to say about this. This was this morning on Fox and Friends, cut two.
Advice and consent is solely within the Senate, not the House, so he's right. barking up the wrong tree. These are documents that he'll never get. The Democrats are trying to create a narrative. They want this narrative that the White House is being obstructionist, that they're not giving over documents. So they continually ask for documents
right.
they know will never, ever be released. The president, in this case, President Bush, has a right to executive privilege. Just because there were documents written and advice given does not mean that those become public or that the House or Senate members can see.
Now, who is that?
That is Jason Chaffetz, former congressman from California, I think, and now a Fox News contributor.
All right. Well, here's what I think that Jerry Nadler from New York, the New York congressman, this is why I think he's asking for these documents regarding Justice Kavanaugh, is I think if he gets them, and finds something that he believes is damaging to Kavanaugh in the run-up to the confirmation. I think he would want to try to impeach him. I think there's enough sentiment on the left that they despise Kavanaugh, that they would try to impeach him, and that would begin in the House. That mm-hmm. process would begin in the House. I don't think it has a snowball's chance of Kavanaugh being convicted and removed from the bench, but I think that's what they're after. Again, listen, for about the fifth time today, Ray, do you think I'm crazy? Do you think they would go that far against Kavanaugh?
Oh, they would go farther than this. This isn't anywhere near the limit of what they would go to. So it sounds to me, guys, like this is a fishing expedition. I mean, 5 years, he must have written many, many, many memos. So don't you think they're just trying to dip the net in there and see what they can pull up and to do exactly what Ed said. They're just to see what they can find. Although, I don't think this is ever going to happen. I don't think those documents will ever be released.
No, and I think that's what Chaffetz was saying, is that they know that they won't
yes.
be released. So they right. can say, oh, they're hiding things.
Yes.
You know, and it just strikes me, Ray, that this is, we're in a divided government. The
right.
Democrats control just the House. The Republicans have the Senate, and they have the White House. What would happen in 2020 if President Trump was reelected, but the Democrats took the Senate?
Gridlock like we've never seen.
Or impeachment. They'd have the vote.
Sure.
Get him. They could vote unreasonably to convict the man.
Here's why. I understand what you're saying about what Chaffetz.
Elections have consequences.
Yes, they do.
Right.
What Chaffetz was saying, and I don't disagree, because I think that if you holler loudly enough and long enough about an administration not releasing, if I came to you, Steve, and I said, "I want to see your checkbook," all right, like Ray is saying,
right.
a fishing expedition. I want to
sure.
see your checkbook, and you say, "I'm not giving you my checkbook." And I said, you must be hiding something.
Right, exactly.
You must be hiding something
right.
illegal." That's what the Democrats.
If you
are
had
doing.
Nothing to hide, you'd give me your checkbook.
That's right.
If
that's what they're doing.
That's right.
Knowing full well that you're not going to give me your checkbook, and the president's not releasing these documents,
right.
but that's not the point. Maybe the point
is proof positive. You've got something.
You've
to
got
hide.
Something to hide.
It's such a. I do. I like you. You've been expressing.
Thank you that you like me.
I do like you, but I like you. I go home at night sometimes, and I just want to crawl under the covers and hide for 24 hours. Just I don't want to hear it anymore.
I will say this. This may be disappointing to some of our listeners. I rarely anymore go home and watch Fox News
oh.
or any news. And it's just because by the time I go through this all day long and go through the story after story after story, I'm done.
Well, I know for a fact that it's 24-hour news cycle. And this is part of the problem we have with media. 24-hour news cycle means there's not 24 hours worth of news in a day, right?
Right.
There's about 15 or 20 minutes worth of news if you just want to tell what the fact is. Then everybody's reacting to it, and everybody's reacting to people's reaction to it.
Yes.
So I've heard it all by the time I get home, because all I do all day is monitor Fox News and,
right.
and what's going on. So if I get a text, my phone is tuned into all the news services. If I get a text that says there's some event that's an earthquake, a shooting, something that's breaking news, then I might go and figure out what it is.
As I will too.
Other than that, man, it's right. Seinfeld or Cheers or
who wants to hear what everyone football. Is saying about the right. things we were reading about or hearing
NASCAR,
about
NASCAR. Yeah.
Right, right,
right. And for Ray, he's getting on his bike and going somewhere, right, Ray?
That's right. Just keep riding until those endorphins wash out all the bad news.
Yes,
some days
you.
It takes about 30 extra miles.
Right?
All right. What else we got here?
Let's end on something lighter. I want to say feel bad here for a gentleman in Ashland, Oregon, and they're not naming him because, well, it's a mistake he made and there's some money involved, but this man accidentally put his life savings, $23,000, which was in a box, into the recycling bin, and then the recycling what? People came and picked it up and traveled 200 miles from Ashland, Oregon, to Humboldt County, to Eureka, California. And they processed it, and he frantically trailed the truck down there, got there. He said, look for this thing. They looked for it. They found it. And he got all the money back except for $320.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, a happy ending.
Good. So yeah. This is a happy ending.
Yeah.
So you mean he actually followed the truck?
He followed the truck?
He wasn't honking at the truck.
Okay.
It was far enough removed that he knew where it was going. He found out where it was going and then went to that place. When he got there, the truck had already processed the load and they were recycling.
Yeah.
And someone, he said, look for the box. Someone found it. Can you imagine? What your heart must feel like when you just realize that you just put $23,000 in cash in a box in the garbage can and it's gone.
I hate it when that happens.
Yes, yeah, me too. So a good ending on that.
It would take me a week to get the money back.
By the way, one of our eagle-eyed listeners, eagle-eared listeners, Jackie, on Facebook, said, Steve, you're wrong. Jason Chavez is from Utah, not California. So, Jackie, keep us between the lines on the road. And to close out the show, Ray, you're the founder of Keep Believing Ministries. Let our listeners know about your ministry, what the website is, and what folks can find there, because lots of great resources at Keep Believing Ministries.
Look, if you're tired of all the bad news and the political stuff, and you want to just, you need some good news. Well, God's Word is full of good news, and that's what you'll find at our website. So surf on over to keepbelieving.com and check us out. Sermons, Bible studies, all full of good news from God's Word.
And Ray, if folks want to have you come and teach/preach at their church or at their conference, they can find information there, how to contact
Absolutely.
You there.
There's a contact form on our website.
KeepBelieving.com. Yeah. And I highly recommend Ray Pritchard. He is outstanding. And listen, if I had time off, I'd go to one of his conferences.
Just remember, folks, he goes south in the winter and north in the summer.
That's right.
Exactly. That's the plan.
He's a smart man. Or he has a smart wife. Maybe
right.
both. I don't
both.
Know. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for today's Issues Today. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Lord willing, we will see you tomorrow. Bye for now.